Welcome back to the Growth in Jams podcast. My name is Saul and I'll be your host here again today. Today I'm joined by Patrick Ogiaga, someone who is striving in all aspects of his life. He is a first generation Nigerian American, a UT Austin alum, a former UT Austin football player, a recent graduate of UT RGV School of Medicine, an aspiring orthopedic surgeon, and a former UT System student regent. We discuss his upbringing in the Rio Grande Valley, his educational journey, the importance of family, faith, and culture in shaping his identity, relationship advice, his long-term goals, and we end the discussion with his artist recommendations. Enjoy the show today. Welcome, Patrick. Glad to have you here today. Just to start at a high level and lay some of the foundation, just talk a little bit about how we know each other, where you went to undergrad and got your degree in, where you went to med school, where you're at now, and what the next few years will entail for you career-wise.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for having me, Saul. So my name is Patrick Ogiaga, and you know, I've met Saul through his sister, Victoria, and we've been dating for almost 10 years. And so I went to undergrad at the University of Texas at Austin. Oakham and majored in biology. And then while I was there, I was also a member of the football team under Coach Strong. And then after graduating, started off UTRGV School of Medicine and actually just graduated from there a couple weeks ago. So 4 years down the valley and now heading to UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas for 5 years of orthopedic surgery residency. And so during those 5 years, I'll get exposure to various subspecialties in orthopedics like trauma, joint reconstruction, sports, hand, and pediatrics.
Awesome. Just first thing, congratulations for all your accomplishments. It's been great. Like Patrick said, I've known him for 10 years. And I think when I met Patrick, he was in high school still. And, you know, from the moment I met him, he was set and determined to be a doctor. I think a lot of people go into college and they're even in high school and they say, I want to be a doctor. And a lot of the times that doesn't come to fruition because of, you know, the time commitment, the dedication, the perseverance that takes. So yeah, first and foremost, congratulations on not only graduating med school, graduating UT, but starting your residency and fully becoming a doctor at this point in time. It's really exciting to have watched you in that space. All the long nights of studying, they most definitely paid off. So congratulations.
Thanks, man.
Of course.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
To take a step back and let the audience know a little bit about who you are from different aspects of your life. Let's talk a little bit about your upbringing. So talk about growing up in the Rio Grande Valley, some of the life experiences or the lessons that you took away from that upbringing there.
Yeah, most definitely. So born and raised in McAllen, Texas, I'm a first generation Nigerian American. My parents moved down to the Valley a few years before I was born for work. And I went to a small private school up until high school. And then in high school, I went to a magnet health professions school. It was called MedHigh for short. And that's actually where I met Victoria. And so the rest is history in that regards.
I think the Valley is a very interesting place. It's crazy to think of actually how small and tight-knit that community is. And thank you for sharing, you know, a little bit about your family's practice and getting there. Maybe share a little bit about how your family maintained and practiced culture in the Valley, which is a pretty different, I would say, demographic of people than I would say most of Texas.
For sure. So some key points in my life, at least in my upbringing, is just the importance of family. And, you know, being a Nigerian, it's really important in that culture, but also being surrounded by Hispanic culture, family is really important there. But how we maintained our culture in the Valley, surprisingly, there's a decent sized community of Nigerians and immigrants from African countries like Ghana and Cameroon and such. So there was many gatherings and celebrations held throughout the year, which was fun and also helped us kind of keep our unique culture. But also my family and many others weren't afraid to embrace the culture that surrounded us and welcomed us. So, for example, many of my closest friends are Mexican American and I speak Spanish at an almost fluent level.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I had actually no idea that that was the case for the Valley, but it's great to find that you found a home there and that it was welcoming and an accepting place. Which brings me to my next question, which a lot of the narratives surrounding the Valley is that you grow up there and you just have to get out. that it's a very suffocating and suppressing place for some people, and hence why they leave and largely never come back. I guess talk about the way that this may or may have not been the case for you and your experience, both as a child growing up there, but then also returning back for med school.
For sure. So growing up, I had cousins that lived in big cities like Houston. And I always asked my parents, you know, like, why are we here in the valley versus like a big city like Houston, where, you know, it's more diverse, more Nigerian Americans. They always stressed myself and my siblings that it's a choice to be in the valley. And I think my parents did a great job in showing us why the valley is such a special place to live in and grow up in. Work and raise a family. And so I think my parents did a great job in that. But what really helped from my own experience was going to UT, seeing a completely different city and all it had to offer, and then coming back home for 4 years of medical school. I think that really helped change my perspective and really helped me feel like it was a choice to me be here. And it's an honor and a blessing to be in a special area like the Valley is.
I really like that. We can get a little bit more into that and, you know, some of the things that you want to do career-wise in the Valley possibly when we get to that. But thank you for sharing, and I'm excited to continue that part of the conversation in a little bit. So I guess move on to your education, your educational path. I think it's a great story and it's a great source of inspiration for, I think, a lot of people. But maybe talk a little bit about the path you took to get where you are in terms of undergrad admission, your experience with football at UT, your time in college in general, and then eventually your return to the Valley for med school.
Most definitely. So like I said earlier, went to UT Austin for undergrad, and that's where I played defensive tackle under Coach Strong. I walked on in the spring of my freshman year and then was on the team throughout up until graduation. And so I was there for a total of 3 years because of all the summer hours we take. It just really helped, you know, kind of accelerate undergrad. But it was an incredible experience, although not the most winning time in Texas football history. We had some great moments. Like first year on the team, we beat OU at the Red River Showdown, and that was awesome. And then also in 2016, beating Notre Dame in Austin in double overtime with T-Swoops running in. You know, really big moments, and made a lot of great friends and even teammates now that I consider family and still talk to. But my time in Austin was life-changing. Many great friends that I met on and off the football team. Many great memories from all the concerts and music festivals, hikes and days on the lake. So that was great. And then coming back home for med school at UTRGV was also really important and really unique. I got to attend medical school with my older brother, Mac, and then being able to come back and learn and train in the valley where I grew up in. And for those of you who don't know, the Rio Grande Valley has so much health disparity and inequity. It's an incredibly underserved area. And so UTRGV was formed to help serve the valley and eliminate that need and provide high level medical care to 1.2 or 1.3 million people who live in the valley.
That's great that you were able to be a part of something bigger than yourself in that way, able to serve a community that was definitely underserved. I think we can all get behind that sentiment. You know, it's all about being a part of something bigger than ourselves at the end of the day. Thank you for sharing that. When did you decide, just to take a step back, that you wanted to become a doctor, or more specifically, an orthopedic surgeon?
Yeah, so it feels like I've known forever that I wanted to become a physician and practice medicine. And that may be because my family's deeply rooted in health. My father is a physician, my mother is a nurse practitioner. So medicine has always been around my family, but I've always liked working with my hands. So I felt like I wanted to specialize in some surgical field. I just didn't know what. But I decided on orthopedics during my junior year of high school after I tore up my knee during a football game. I needed surgery and I met my orthopedic surgeon. He was an African-American male, former athlete. His brother was a collegiate athlete as well, which kind of played a role into me pursuing collegiate athletics even after my injury and knowing that I wanted to practice medicine. And so after my surgery with Dr. Mitchell, I had the opportunity to shadow him and receive mentorship from him. And so really thankful that I met Dr. Mitchell. I guess even thankful for my injury, because I don't know where my life would be without that.
Awesome that you were able to turn an experience that could have been, and probably was, extremely devastating in some capacity to a win in a different capacity. So that's great that you were able to take that away, and especially to have that insight and reflection on that time and realize that it was maybe a secret blessing in disguise. So that's awesome, man. Like I said in the past, you know, I think a lot of people wanting to become doctors, there's this almost intangible feeling to the field and the profession because it's so long out. It's such a long-term grind to get to actually being a doctor. For you, what do you think helped you to keep that focus in mind with a goal that was so far away from such a young age and even maybe felt unattainable and intangible at times?
Sure. So I think the most important thing for me was just being around individuals who look like me in the places and positions that I aspire to be one day. So very closely, obviously, I had my parents. So my father being a physician, I grew up seeing him in that role and knowing that it's possible because he's doing it. And his upbringing is very different from mine. Obviously, moving from Nigeria as an orphan by age 15 and kind of doing it on his own. And knowing that as I was growing up, if he could do that and be where he was as a physician, and I knew I could do it. And so did my siblings. And that's kind of, we had that motivation and we knew that nothing was too big and could stop us from becoming physicians. So I think that was really important. So in that way, it kept things tangible for me. And it wasn't a matter of if I could do it, but what do I need to get there? And how can I enjoy myself on that journey?
I really like that. And something that I just thought of in that time with your response is, your siblings, all of y'all are incredibly well-achieved individuals. Why don't you talk just, briefly about some of the accomplishments of your siblings and how the various paths that y'all have taken now into different professions, some similar professions. And yeah, just, it's awesome to see that, because when your reflection that your dad and your mom were able to provide that grind for y'all, and you were able to take away that, we can achieve anything because of the sacrifices that they've made. That's awesome. So just maybe highlight a little bit about your siblings for the audience.
For sure. So I have four siblings. We're a family of seven, pretty big and pretty close in age. So my oldest sister, Ashley, she's currently a dermatology resident in St. Louis. And then my second sibling, Angela, she's a lawyer and she made me an uncle almost a year now. But so we have a beautiful niece in the family. And then my older brother, Mac, he and I attended medical school together, and he's now going on to otolaryngology, head and neck surgery residency in Kansas. And then I have a younger sister. She's currently in undergrad and wants to become a plastic surgeon. So wow. Those are my siblings for you.
That's awesome. Extremely well achieved, but also just, through the graces of knowing two of your siblings, y'all are just incredibly humble people and just well-respected, personable people. So I've really enjoyed the presence of your family within my life. And yeah, thank you for that. It's been great to watch you grow, but also great to, I don't think I've highlighted enough for the audience, but you've taught me a lot. You've mentored me in a lot of ways through your time at UT, helped me through a lot of tough times. So yeah, thank you for that, for being a source of light in my life for sure. I've really appreciated that.
Of course, man. Don't even have to thank me for it.
To move on, I think it's a great topic to talk about, and I think you have a great perspective on a lot of these issues. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the challenges you faced as a result of your race.
Yeah, so definitely one of the benefits of growing up in the Rio Grande Valley was being surrounded by many first-generation individuals. So thankfully, and I say thankfully because, that may not be the case for many other African Americans in different parts of the country, but I didn't really feel that racial tensions or any issues there. But I would say most of the time, and from my time in preschool through high school, I was the only African American person in my class, which felt isolating at times. But thankfully, I had very supportive parents that were always encouraging me and never let me limit myself or their expectations for my siblings and I, especially as a result of our race.
Awesome. I really appreciate that. And I think you had a unique opportunity. We haven't talked about it yet, but through being a part of the Regents at the University of Texas system, why don't you share a little bit about what that position entailed, and maybe some of the issues that you were able to work on in the last year during your term there?
Yeah. So thankfully, I was appointed by Governor Abbott to serve a one-year term on the University of Texas system Board of Regents as a student regent. So what that role entails is I'm now a member of the board with nine other regents and kind of serve as that student voice and perspective. And so the University of Texas system has over 240,000 students. So trying to be the voice for all the various diverse student bodies and all their needs can be tough, but it was definitely a responsibility that I didn't take lightly. And over the course of the past year, it wasn't an easy year by any means. We had a pandemic that we haven't seen in such a long time, and that definitely challenged all of higher education. And then as well, we had many social justice issues and movements going around. And so just making sure that all students felt welcome and included on campus was important, and definitely something that I feel like the board handled very well. And I didn't take any of those issues lightly.
That's awesome. I really appreciated being able to get that position and serve in that capacity. I can't imagine the responsibility that was, but also can't imagine how rewarding that is to be involved in making sure that students' voices are heard in that capacity, especially in light of the last year of what 2020 has been and was for this country.
Absolutely.
Just to round out the conversation on race, why don't you share any words of encouragement or empowerment for others listening who may want to be better individuals, but don't know where to start, or for those who have experienced any hardships as a result of who they are. And, you know, that can be race, sexuality, gender, any of those differing things.
Yeah. So don't mean to climb up on a soapbox, but there'll be times in your life where someone may look at you and say that you are incapable of being successful or achieving your dreams just based on how you look or who you are or who you may love. But try and remind yourself that thankfully those opinions are worth $0 and 0 cents. So just try and get past it. You know, many times it may come from someone who you thought was important to you, and those words may really stink, but try and stick to those people who have always encouraged you and love and cherish you and respect the differences that you may have. Then also, I feel like it's incredibly important to seek out guidance and mentorship early on in life. Played such an incredible role for me. I don't know where I'd be without the mentors that I've had in my life. So hopefully you can find people who look like you and inspire you and can serve as that constant reminder that you can do whatever it is that you're setting out to do.
Awesome. I really like that. Great words of wisdom right there. Let's talk a little bit about family and faith. So maybe talk a little bit about your family dynamics. You've touched on them a bit, but your role within the family and then the role your family has played in shaping you into who you are today as an individual.
So like I said, really big emphasis on family and having that kind of close-knit relationships within our family. So the closest people in my life are my siblings and my parents. Lots of love and support, as well as encouragement to keep striving for whatever it is that we're trying to do, as well as that constant sense of competition as well. I don't want to, you know, ignore that. I have four siblings. We're all pretty competitive. We all were athletes at some point in our lives. So there's definitely friendly competition going on, but it's healthy for sure. It definitely helped in shaping who I am today. Can't thank them enough, and really blessed to have a great family.
For sure. I like that sentiment, competition. I think competition is really frowned upon, but I think it's that idea of iron sharpens iron.
For sure.
Makes, you know, each of y'all stronger and pushes each of y'all to be better. So I do welcome competition in that light. And our family dynamic's a lot different over here. I don't think we're in competition in that way, but I think we do strive to be and push each other to be the best versions of ourselves through other ways of competing. Maybe not through direct accomplishments or sports, but yeah, I totally agree with that sentiment for sure.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk a little bit about the role that faith has played in your life and maybe some of the moments where you felt God most present?
Absolutely. So I can't emphasize enough the role that faith has played in my life and just trying to accomplish many things, or through the tough times, God has always been there. All the blessings he's bestowed on myself and my family. And you mentioned iron sharpens iron, which is one of my favorite proverbs. I think it's Proverbs 27, verse 13. So I really feel like God has been present throughout my entire life, but definitely there's been some really tough times. I feel like in undergrad, trying to find who I really was just as an individual, and always just relying on the good book and the word and praying and always receiving that constant feedback in various shapes and forms. You know, God doesn't speak to you directly. He may show himself in other ways and through various people who may come into your life. So definitely feel like God has been present through all the tough times and it's helped me get to where I am today.
Most definitely. Yeah, that's awesome. I couldn't agree with you more there. I think a lot of people think that God is only present in your victories, but I think even more so, he's present in those tough moments, in those times where you're confused, lost, looking for guidance. And yeah, he has many faces. And I think he works through people within our lives, works through signs and other things like that to course correct and put us to where we need to be going. So couldn't agree with you more there. I think we've done a great job of highlighting who you are and the culmination of those things. But, you know, we wouldn't be able to talk about those things if it weren't for your relationship with my sister, which I'm incredibly grateful for that relationship. It's been a great source of role modeling and inspiration in my life through my own relationship. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the things that you learned about yourself as a result of dating my sister, or just as a result of being in a relationship in general.
Yeah, for sure. So Victoria is definitely a very special person, and we're nearing almost a decade of being together, and I could probably write a book on the lessons that I've learned. But I think most important is just the importance of communication, which I think is something that I struggle with, and many people may struggle with that as well, just being able to express your feelings to another person in a way that they can understand it. So I think that's a very important lesson I've learned about myself, is that I need work on that and continue to try and get better with that every day. And then also just how to be patient with someone. We're not all the same. And I think that's the most important part of a relationship, is accepting that y'all are different, but y'all still love each other regardless, and, you know, have sought out this person for hopefully a lifetime. So communication and patience are some of the things that I've learned about myself that may need a little work. But I'm glad that Victoria is the one teaching me those lessons.
That's awesome. I like that a lot. And I think it's important to acknowledge that while we all have our own shortcomings and faults, especially within interpersonal connection with other people, it doesn't even have to be romantic relationships. It's about striving to be better than you were the previous day, striving to be better than you were the previous situation where you feel you didn't do your best or where you could have done something different. So that's awesome. I think it's great to have someone that you choose each day to be helping and teaching you those lessons. So
Awesome.
And I'm really happy for y'all and happy for the reflection and the insight into that area needing work, because that's what this is all about. So really thankful for that.
Absolutely.
Maybe talk about what is an integral part of your relationship. What's the foundation? Maybe that foundation's changed over time, but what's been important in the success and happiness? Because 10 years is a long time. So something's had to have gone right in that time for y'all to still be here.
Yeah. So I would say that foundation most certainly was dynamic. So one part of dating early on in life, like in high school and remaining together throughout, is that you're still discovering who you are as an individual and what you like and what you don't like. So having a foundation that is amenable and does well with change, is dynamic in that sense, is definitely important. But I think the communication piece is really integral, because if you can't express that to your partner about why you like certain things or why you don't like certain things, and how as you grow, maybe that completely changes, I think that can lend itself to some issues. So like I said, I think communication is important, but this may be the athlete coming out in me, but Victoria is also a major athlete. So the competition is also, I think, always important. Iron sharpens iron. And I also think you need some stress to grow. So reflecting on that, I think competition, communication, but also lots of love and lots of patience has served us very well over time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that you need stress to grow. I think that's well said. And I like that.
Thank you.
Y'all were long distance for a majority of the time, but almost all of the time in the last 10 years. Why don't you, I guess, talk a little bit about what that was like and how you were able to come out on the other side successful?
Yeah, so lots of gas. My truck has close to 150,000 miles on it in a short period of time because of that long distance, but it was all worth it. So we were long distance throughout. When we started dating, we lived in cities separated by 45 minutes, and we really met because our high school is in the middle of those two cities. And then undergrad, she went up to Fort Worth, and I was in Austin. And then for grad school, she was in Dallas and I was down in the valley. And now finally we moved in together in Dallas, and that's all because of God and perfect timing, I would say. And the most important thing was that love that we had for each other. Obviously it was strong enough to destroy any distance and kind of remind us of why we're doing these things. And I thank God for FaceTime and Skype back in the day, because it also helped kind of shorten that distance. So
yeah, I think that's great. You know, like I said in the past, I'm proud of y'all, but I'm also thankful that both of y'all are in my life in various aspects as individuals, but collectively as a unit. You're great. And I'm just very grateful for y'all.
Appreciate you too, my man.
Thank you. I think to round out the conversation a little bit about relationship, maybe just give some general relationship advice for the audience.
Yeah. So something I've learned in our relationship is just the importance of communication and then patience. So some people are naturally gifted communicators, know how to express their feelings and emotions to another person without any issue. And so in my case, that was not. But I think that on that kind of note, it's just being able to look within yourself, see where your shortcomings are and areas that you need work and you know, no one's perfect. So just the sooner you recognize that, I think it lends itself to all the awesome benefits of just growing and being in a relationship that y'all recognize your faults, but still love each other and are still working to be a great partnership and a great unit. So definitely just being able to look within yourself and accept your own flaws, but accept your partner's as well. And then go from there. Have fun while doing it too.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Long term, this has various different aspects, but share a little bit about your goals in the realm of career, community involvement, the Rio Grande Valley, all these various things. Just feel free to share what that looks like for you.
Yeah. So in terms of career, going into orthopedic surgery, residency is where I'll find out what I'm interested in the most and where I may want to subspecialize. Right now, I think that's going to be pediatrics and sports medicine. So that's two fellowships and really just trying to combine the two. Obviously, I think kids are great. I love being a kid. I still think I'm a kid. And then sports, obviously, just being an athlete and trying to combine the two, I think would be a fantastic career choice. Right now, my family unit consists of family, obviously, back home, but then Victoria and our golden doodle Fitz. And then we got another sheepadoodle coming into the family pretty soon. And that's it right now for the family. And we're happy about that. And in terms of community involvement, love to mentor either high school, college, or even other med students, and also try and give back wherever I can to the community. And hopefully one day that may bring my practice back down to the Rio Grande Valley and help contribute to eliminating that health disparity. But only time will tell and only God knows. But I look forward to whatever comes on my journey.
Awesome, man. I'm really excited for your future. And I think it's going to be a great career, a great life for you. And I'm just so excited to watch that. I guess I'll open it up at this point for just general advice, things you've learned along the way on your journey. You're pretty big into music as well. So maybe any music suggestions, podcast suggestions, or basically any resources or anything you feel a desire to share at this point.
Yeah. So I am pretty big on music. I listen to everything. But right now, obviously, rap and hip hop have remained a staple in my life. And I'm pretty big into house music, especially Afro house, which is special little subcategory of that. So house music with more of the African roots. So Black Coffee, if any of y'all heard of him, South African DJ, he's one of my favorites right now. And then Rufus the Soul. On the rap and hip hop side, I'm a huge Travis Scott fan, St. John, J. Cole. So those are my suggestions. Obviously, many of y'all probably heard of all those artists I threw out there, but that's what I'm listening to nowadays. And that'll probably remain for a while.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. And just as a little sidebar, you were the first person to put me onto Black, and that was before anyone knew about who he was. That was a long time ago. I think it was like 2016-ish. So pretty crazy to think about. But you do have a incredible taste in music and definitely have put me onto some artists over the years.
Appreciate that.
At this point in time, I think we did a great job of encapsulating who you are, what your presence is in life to various people. And just in general, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you being here, willing to do this, to give back to a separate community that I think is very much so looking for a way to grow, looking for diverse experiences within life, maybe to find a little insight within here, pockets of knowledge as well. So thank you for being here, Patrick, and I'm looking forward to your future and continuing to grow our relationship as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Saul. Till next time.
Of course. Bye, my friend.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Growth and Jams podcast. My name is Saul. We are hosted by 1718 Media. If you enjoyed the show today, please feel free to give it a rating in the podcast app. Also, follow us on social media at Growth and Jams. Thank you for tuning in.